Penguin Random House Audio presents Journal of a Novel, The East of Eden Letters, by John Steinbeck. Read for you by Jonathan Davis. Penguin Books, Journal of a Novel. Born in Salinas, California in 1902, John Steinbeck grew up in a fertile agricultural valley about 25 miles from the Pacific coast, and both valley and coast would serve as settings for some of his best fiction. In 1919, he went to Stanford University, where he intermittently enrolled in literature and writing courses until he left in 1925 without taking a degree. During the next 5 years, he supported himself as a laborer and journalist in New York City, and then as a caretaker for a Lake Tahoe estate, all the time working on his first novel, Cup of Gold, 1929. After marriage and a move to Pacific Grove, he published two California fictions, The Pastures of Heaven, 1932, and To a God Unknown, 1933, and worked on short stories later collected in The Long Valley, 1938. Popular success and financial security came only with Tortilla Flat, 1935, stories about Monterey's paisanos. A ceaseless experimenter throughout his career, Steinbeck changed courses regularly. Three powerful novels of the late 1930s focused on the California laboring class, In Dubious Battle, 1936, Of Mice and Men, 1937, and the book considered by many his finest, The Grapes of Wrath, 1939. Early in the 1940s, Steinbeck became a filmmaker with The Forgotten Village, 1941, and a serious student of marine biology with C. F. Cortez. He devoted his services to the war, writing Bombs Away, 1942, and the controversial play novelette The Moon is Down, 1942. Cannery Row, 1945, The Wayward Bus, 1947, The Pearl, 1947, A Russian Journal, 1948, another experimental drama, Burning Bright, 1950, and The Log from the Sea of Cortez, 1951, preceded publication of the monumental East of Eden, 1952, an ambitious saga of the Salinas Valley and his own family's history. The last decades of his life were spent in New York City and Sag Harbor with his third wife, with whom he traveled widely. Later books include Sweet Thursday, 1954, The Short Reign of Pippin the Fourth, A Fabrication, 1957, Once There Was a War, 1958, The Winter of Our Discontent, 1961, Travels with Charlie in Search of America, 1962, America and Americans, 1966, and the posthumously published Journal of a Novel, The East of Eden Letters, 1969, Viva Zapata, 1975, The Acts of King Arthur and His Noble Knights, 1976, and Working Days, The Journals of the Grapes of Wrath, 1989. He died in 1968, having won a Nobel Prize in 1962. Publisher's Note. Emerson had said that when his writing was blocked, he would sit down and write a long letter to a friend whom he loved. John Steinbeck, in writing East of Eden, unblocked himself for the daily stint ahead by writing a letter to his close friend and editor, Pascal Covici. It was written on the blue-ruled pages of a large notebook, size 10¾ by 14 inches, which Covici had supplied. After the two opening letters, which filled the first few pages continuously, the letters appeared only on the left-hand pages. On the right, when Steinbeck felt ready, he proceeded to the text of the novel. He usually filled 2 pages of the text a day with a total of about 1,500 words. Both the letter and the text were written in black pencil in Steinbeck's minute but clear longhand. The writing covered the period from January 29th through November 1st, 1951. There was a letter for every working day until the first draft of the novel was finished. The letter was primarily a method of warming up. flexing the author's muscles, both physical and mental. He sometimes used it to adumbrate the problems and purposes of the passage on which he was about to embark, a kind of arguing ground for the story, as he says once. If the argument had been worked out in his mind in advance, the material of the letter might consist of random thoughts, trial flights of wordsmanship, nuggets of information and comment for his friend about the surrounding events of the moment, both personal and public. But the letters were also full of serious thinking about this novel, his longest and most ambitious, about novel writing in general, and about some of Steinbeck's deepest convictions. Not a formal act of literary creation for its own sake, this document casts a flood of light on the author's mind and on the nature of the creative process. And in its private glimpses of the Nobel Prize-winning writer, his concern about his sons, his hobbies such as wood carving and carpentry, his passion for invention, it is autobiographical material of the first order. In a sense, this is Steinbeck's testament. Taken simply as a document, which he did not intend for publication and never revised in any way, it is probably unique. Its repetitions, even its seeming irrelevancies, are a part of its documentary interest. The text printed here follows the carefully typed transcription made from the original longhand by Mrs. Dorothy Covici for her husband, and no attempt has been made now to check it back, word for word, against the original longhand, a task for later scholars, except at a few points where she had been uncertain of the handwriting. It is published here intact as a reading version, without editing except in two minor respects. A few lines here and there, as indicated, have been omitted in deference to the feelings of living people, and a few inconsistencies in spelling, obvious slips of the pencil, and hasty punctuation have been corrected. Steinbeck was normally permissive with his editors on such points, though he strongly resisted what he called collaboration on more important matters. The letters, of course, refer to the first draft of East of Eden. After it was copied by a typist, Steinbeck made extensive revisions, omitted whole passages, and rearranged some of the chapters. The task of correlating the letters with the published text of the novel must also await future scholarship. The publishers are deeply indebted to Mrs. Elaine Steinbeck for her cooperation in elucidating references not clear in context. They are also grateful to the Humanities Research Center of the University of Texas at Austin, the present owners, for permitting photographs of the original manuscript to be made for the sample facsimile pages, and to Pascal Covici, Jr., for permission to photograph the box which Steinbeck carved to hold the manuscript and then gave to his editor. Finally, they wish to express their gratitude to Steinbeck's two sons, Tom Steinbeck, Tom in the script, and John Steinbeck IV, Catbird. In the first of the letters to Covici, and also in letters addressed to them and intended to go in the book but later omitted, their father made clear to what a great extent he was motivated by the boys, 6 and 4 years old when the letters begin, in writing East of Eden. Also printed here for the first time is the dedication, prologue, argument, apology, epilogue, and perhaps epitaph all in one, which Steinbeck originally drafted for the book as a prefatory letter to Pascal Covici. In the end, he decided to substitute the simpler, more personal dedication that appears in the published novel. The imaginary conversation in this draft was just that, an argument which Steinbeck facetiously set up in anticipation of what he feared might be said about the book by his publishers and the reader. Needless to say, it never took place. But it tells much about author-publisher relationships. January 29, 1951. Monday. Dear Pat, how did the time pass and how did it grow so late? Have we learned anything from the passage of time? Are we more mature, wiser, more perceptive, kinder? We have known each other now for centuries, and still I remember the first time and the last time. We come now to the book. It has
sample complete. Ready to continue?